don't have the words to, the words on the screen in that play. Want to do it right here.
Number four.
Technical difficulties. I have difficulties every time I try to do anything like that. I had a computer one time say, stop and go get help. I thought, I'm getting something by machine. If that wasn't bad enough, you just push one button when you came, push the escape button. I said, you could at least make it look hard. Sorry about this.
Don't apologize, Danny. Satan's got to stick his nose in someplace.
Hey, man, I'm enjoying myself, I have to admit.
Has a four on the tail.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Bless. That's right.
When the storm around you rages and you toss to and fro, when you're faced with life's decision, not sure which way to go, stand still.
Yes.
And watch him move.
Amen.
Standing still is hard to do.
There it is. That's right.
That is our part reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now.
Yeah.
Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do.
Yeah.
When you feel you have reached it.
It's hard to stand still, but it's always the right thing to do. Amen.
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 Well, the Lord must want me to sing How Great They Are this morning.
Hey, man.
Sharon asked for it earlier this morning, and Brenda just asked for it, so I'm going to do it.
Hey, man.
Amen. You can do it.
That's right. That's him, Lord.
He ain't done it in a while, but he can do it.
Amen.
we serve a great God.
Amen.
Yes, we do.
That's right. None greater.
That's right. Amen.
There's a lot of fact they are. Right. He's so good.
That's right.
They might act like they are, but he's so good.
That's right. Amen.
There ain't going to be nowhere to be found. Listen, Lord. Singing. And I hope you have too. But while they were singing, Brother Jerry was singing a song, something to do with a mansion. I think it was farther along. I think it was farther along. It mentioned the word about a mansion. And it caused me to think about, I seen on the news where a mansion was for sale. And even though it's worth about, I don't know, $500,000 or something like that, they had a price for $10, Brother Mitchell. So all you had to do is give $10 for it. That's it. I mean, we're talking about like three-story mansion, Phyllis.
Right.
Right there, beautiful landscape and everything, $10.
Right.
Could own it.
Amen.
They didn't have one single person bid on it.
Right.
They didn't nobody take it. The reason they couldn't take it, Brother Jerry, is it had to be moved.
Uh-huh.
And it had to be moved within maybe 1,000 feet, 1,000 yards, or 1,000 miles, I don't know, but where it was, that was only stimulation. I mean, it took a tour and said, well, it's beautiful. Big spiral staircases, I mean, solid wood floors. It had big columns inside, outside, beautiful. All it took to buy it, Lenny, was $10. And even though I had $10, I couldn't afford it. The greater still, the greater mansion than that, Lord going to give us, amen?
Right, amen.
I've never owned a mansion down here. I don't guess anybody would consider my little humble dwelling out there a mansion. No. But praise God, it suits me well.
Yeah.
And this one here is going to suit me well. Right now, that'll do just fine. But, amen, this other mansion brings free. I ain't got to do anything for it.
That's right.
I mean, he wanted to give it to me.
Yeah.
And he freely gave me all things. I couldn't help but think about that while Jerry's singing in that song. I believe it was Father Long mentioned about a mansion.
Yeah.
In that song, me and my pastor went to a nursing home. And as we went in the door, they was pushing this lady in a wheelchair, Mitchell, with snow white hair on her head, and she was coming down the hall, and she was saying, Father alone will know all about it. Now she gave that song new meaning. She's kind of like Larry King that went just so far, and this week he didn't go no further. Like Hank Aaron, is that his name, the baseball player? But you know, all them home runs, he went no further than one day this week, and he was out of here. I mean, he is, I don't know if he's saved or not, but if he was saved, fellas, he had a home run.
Right.
And if he wasn't, he struck out.
Right.
Larry King, I don't know how many wives he had, but I know one thing he
had.
Yeah. But both of those, they went just so far.
That's right.
And they could go no further, but we're going a little further.
That's right.
Amen. I'll tell you right now, I'm glad for the bridge between here and heaven, thanks to the cross, thanks to the blood, the grace of God, mercy, compassion of my Savior. I'm going further than what they went down here. Now, they may have went themselves. I certainly ain't going to hear, I'm not going to advocate for or against them, but I want to tell you one thing, if they was ready to go, they're out of here, amen. And if they wasn't ready to go, they should have been, because they're just like a lot of people. That are here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Some are here today, some are going to be gone today.
Yeah.
But as they were singing this morning, I thought about a lot of those things as they sang. I was thinking about Rita as she was singing that song that, you know, she was going to be front of the parade. I thought about David as they're bringing in the ark to Jerusalem. I mean, here he is leading the parade. I mean, he's got his priestly garments on. And buddy, I mean, he's doing some serious dancing. It said he was dancing with all of his might. I can just picture me, simple, going into heaven in the parade.
Amen.
I'm home. I don't know what all I'm going to do up there. I just know one thing, I'm going to do all that I can. And I think the joys of the Lord is just like that. I think it's going to be a joyful thing. Amen.
Yes, it will be.
Hallelujah. Well, I wasn't expecting this many people to be here, but glad to have all of you here this morning.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's a good place to be. Amen. And we want to take our text this morning. I want to tell you that Sharon had her hip surgery. I was down there at the hospital. I did get to see her. They had her down there at 4 o'clock that morning, and I didn't get there myself till like 8 o'clock. And she didn't get her surgery until like 11 o'clock. I don't know why they had to have her there so early. I guess it pays off. I don't know. But anyway, they opened the doors of the elevator. And I'm right there in front of the elevator. Phyllis. And the doors open up. Sharon's laying in the bed. Got a nurse behind her. She said, there's my preacher right there. I said, hey, man, there is there. Had a word of prayer with her. And, you know, we just do the best we can. Now that I'm retired, I can do a whole lot more, amen. I mean, I know I'm still kind of testing the water, but best I can tell, I'm doing pretty good. And we'll just have to let the Lord decide on all of that. But I'm doing all I can do for a little preacher, a little pastor. We want to do all that we can. Amen. 1 Kings. Now, we're going to read a lot of Scripture today, but I'm going to condense it down to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll read about 9. Let me see what I got here. About 9 verses. I'm in 2 Kings. No wonder it didn't look right. I'm sitting there thinking, that don't look right. Hold on, let me get in the right Kings here, amen. All right, this looks a whole lot better. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read the first 9 verses here. And they just, had a jubilee event. They've been 3.5 years without rain. And Elijah's prayed, the rain's come down. Everybody's all happy. And 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to read about somebody that ain't happy. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, I guess he sent a letter. And when he saw that letter, I guess, because he sent a messenger, he must have had a letter. It may have been a personal letter. Maybe that messenger came up and said, "I got something for you." But anyway, it says when he saw that, and I'm going to guess it was a letter, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, this is our text right here, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" I'll stop my reading right there. We'll comment on several more things pertaining to this. But we want to stop our reading right there, and I'm preaching really a message on what are you doing here. I'm going to paraphrase that a little bit, but pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God. It's such an encouragement, Lord, to us, Father, in troublesome times, Lord. And I thought about that song, "Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom that we all hold dear is now at stake." And I think about that song a lot, about how relevant it is now concerning the things that are going on in our own country and in the world. And I thank you for the good singing, Lord, that was given here this morning, Lord. We're thankful, Father, for the good Sunday school lesson. Lord, we're asking your blessing upon the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray right now you'd forgive me my sins. Pray you wash me and cleanse me. And I pray you preach to me and through me. As I ask it all, your blessed will be done. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this confrontation here, God is confronting Elijah. And for lack of better words, he's somewhere he's not supposed to be. And he's kind of trying to hide. He's full of fear. And he's not been very fearful till now. A lot of people right now are somewhere they ought not be.
That's right.
And the place that they ought to be, they're not. And that's one reason I wanted to preach this message today, try to encourage people to be where he ought to be, because I don't think Elijah was expecting God to show up, Phyllis. And if God does show up, I don't want him to show up to me and say, what are you doing here, Eddie? I don't want to be out on the fishing lake.
That's right.
I don't want to be in the woods. I don't want to be at Walmart. I don't want to be watching the ball game. I want to be like John, but I couldn't be in church on the Lord's Day. But he did go to say this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he said, I heard behind me a voice, as many waters speaking unto me. And when he turned to see that voice, Sybil, he saw more than anybody could bear. He saw the incarnated, resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and John became as a dead man. Now this world's kind of diminished from the Lord, and it kind of made him kind of like a byword. And you know, they're trying to dismiss, say he never existed, and say, you know, it's just a sky daddy, a fairy tale, an old goat's tail, something like goat herder tail, something like that. But Brenda, when he shows up, oh, is the story ever going to change?
Yeah.
You can see a similitude of that in Revelation chapter 6. Talks about the heavens rolling like a scroll. Right now I look up there and I see the pretty, somebody posted on her website, two boys, Charlie Brown and one of the other, and they was kind of talking to us. One of them said, if heaven looks this pretty on the outside, imagine what it's going to look on the other side. And
right.
I guess Candy probably won't put that on there. But that's kind of like the way the world is going to be one day. The pretty side of heaven's going to be rolled back.
Yeah.
And Brother Danny sung that song, How Great Thou Art.
Amen.
And the one that's greater than all. When he couldn't swear by no greater, swore by his own name to Abraham. Abraham said, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to the bank with that, Brother Ed.
Yes, he did.
But he's going to show up. And CNN ain't going to be able to cover it. They're going to melt.
Amen.
And NBC ain't going to be able to cover it. And all of these fakers up there in Washington, they ain't going to be able to handle it neither. They might have been able to overthrow the president that we previously had. And they might have been able to slide the one we got now in there.
Yep.
It's going to cost them.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Kind of like John said, I didn't miss seeing, said, boy, he's bad. I mean, he saw his eyes, and they weren't like dove eyes. They were as flames of fire. And I want you to know, he's a mighty God of war. And he's coming this time to conquer. And I'm telling you, buddy, it ain't going to take him long to do it. He's going to clean house. And listen, here Elijah is, Brenda. He's somewhere. He knows he'll not be there. And the last thing he wants to see shows up. I thought about the church in our day, how we're cowardly, hunkered down, and make every excuse there is for not being where we know we ought to be. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and I will quote it all, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, neither everybody leaves this part out, it says, but exhorting one another.
Right.
And so much the more as you see that day approaching. Now I'm encouraged and exhorted by you being here.
Yeah, that's right.
I was glad to see Dennis and Mitchell come in. They got here a little late, and I'm still glad to see them. Amen.
Amen.
And some got here a little early. As a matter of fact, I was the first one here. I couldn't believe it. Usually Brother Ed beats me here by leaps and bounds, but his son Jason brought Brother Ed this morning. We're glad to have him, amen.
Amen.
And we had to lead him in here, amen. Brother Ed, I'll tell you right now, he's glad to be here. But listen, if the Lord showed up today, oh, how happy we'd be, amen. But can you imagine the Lord showing up, and you're somewhere, and you know you'll not be there, and the Lord show up, and that's where Elijah was.
That's right. That's
it wasn't
right.
Good, Sybil. He's hiding. And he don't really have an excuse. I'll get to that here in a minute. But just like the rest of the world, You know, when I was little, we played this game called hide and seek.
Right.
And somebody, one of them hopefully could count. We couldn't count to hundreds. We'd try to get at least a 10. But we'd count. Then we'd say, ready or not, here I come. And if you wasn't ready, you was the first one that got caught.
That's right.
Well, this is kind of like that. And Elijah didn't have an excuse. He tried to give one, but he didn't have one. We'll get to that here in a second. But this confrontation that come upon Elijah was due to fear. Now, fear had caused this great prophet, this great man of God, to run to this cave and hide in it. He didn't have no problem at all standing up against King Ahab. He was told in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, to go down there and present himself before the king Ahab. He had no problem at all with that. Mitchell, he ran right back down there, buddy.
Right.
And he showed himself to Ahab, and Ahab, first thing he did, he tried some of that fake news stuff.
Right.
He tried to blame Elijah. He said, you're the reason we're having all these troubles. And Elijah just turned it back around. He said, ain't me, buddy, it's you. Hey, Elijah and Ahab didn't argue with him. But you know, first thing he did, try to put the blame on Elijah. He said, art thou he that troubleth us? Look over here. God told him, show himself to Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. But if you look over here, verse 17, and it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? See, he's trying to put the blame on Elijah. And now Elijah answered the king, and he said, I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and has followed Balaam. Now therefore, he puts a finger on what the real problem is, and it's Ahab. And he didn't have no problem at all standing up to the king Ahab, and he did confront him. And he didn't have no problem at all doing that. But look on, he went a little further. Verse 19, he says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal 450 and the prophets of the groves 400. Notice this. Which eat at Jezebel's table. In other words, these were kind of special. They got to eat with the queen. Now she's got some power. I guess to some degree maybe she had more power than they have. I don't know. We're just kind of talking about that in Sunday school this morning about this incoming administration, like who really was in charge. And I guess we'll find out. But Jezebel was kind of running the show. You can read on a little further and you'd see how she gave Naboth's vineyard to Ahab. All he had to do was tell him why he's crying. And he said, I want that vineyard. Naboth won't sell it to me. Won't trade me with one like to it. And she said, I'll go get that vineyard for you. And she did, amen. But anyway, these 400, they sat at Jezebel's table and eat with her, Jerry. Now 450 and 400, that's 850. When I went to school, he didn't have no problem at all confronting 850 prophets.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Elijah wasn't a pushover.
Right.
So he's confronted the king. Now he's going to confront 850 false prophets. But you know what, fellas? One plus God is a majority.
Yeah.
He wasn't that lost, you know what I mean? That's all he needed was God. And there wasn't no match for him. Because one plus God is a majority, Tammy. And they were at a loss, wasn't him. So he gave him a chance. He said, y'all go ahead and go first. I'll go ahead and pick you out a bullock. You get it all ready. And you go ahead, pick out the best one. Get everything ready. And they went over and got everything ready. And then they called upon their God. It was silence.
Amen.
Now me and Jason was talking about deception. There is deception coming upon this world.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to fall because of this deception.
They sure will.
But anyway, I got a feeling Balaam had been anxious up to now, Jason.
Right.
I don't believe they had no problem until just now. I believe they've been able to call far down and do all kind of wonders and signs before the people. And you know, they're in the place of God. And now all of a sudden, Baal can't be found nowhere. Mm-hmm. That one that Danny's sung about there, he's almighty. How great he is. Now, Balaam was great, but he wasn't great as God. I'm just going to guess God told Balaam, shut your mouth, boy. Don't say a word. The Bible said the devil believed in God and trembled.
Yeah.
Here in James chapter 2, verse 19.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I beheld Satan come down to this earth like lightning. I can only imagine that exodus he made out of heaven. But I'll tell you one thing, when the smoke cleared, he rumbled him out of his shoes and he fell with grace and run in.
Right.
I mean, he got thrown out of heaven by one that he realized was greater than him.
That's right.
Now, the devil is, he is mighty, he's just not almighty. But Elijah had no problem at all standing up against King Ahab. He had no problem at all standing up against 850 false prophets of Baal. He said, you boys go ahead. Y'all go. He made fun of him, mocked him, said, maybe your God's on a journey. Cry aloud, spare not. And they're cutting themselves with knives and screaming and crying, oh Baal, where are you? He's making fun of them there in verse 27. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he's a God. Either he's talking or he's pursuing or in a journey or peradventure he's asleep. They must be awake. And they cried aloud and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. But it just didn't work. And after their folly was over, Elijah goes over there, but he shows who the real God is. And he wasn't afraid, Brother Ed, to prove them false. And he wasn't afraid to cause them to be put to death. In verse number 40, Elijah says unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And he took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Elijah didn't have a problem calling fire down. Elijah done all by himself with the help of God. He said, Lord, I'm here by your providence. And I've done what you sent me here to do. And he told them to put water on it, Brother Ed. He said, put some more water on it. And they filled the ditches up. I mean, it was so wet. And he got down and prayed a little short prayer. And God sent down the fire. And I mean, consumed the sacrifice, the water and everything. And the people said, the Lord's God. And acknowledged them who was real, who was false. He wasn't afraid of the king. He wasn't afraid of these false prophets. What was he afraid of? A threat from a woman? There couldn't be a threat under this prophet unless he allowed it. You know, he had to allow this woman to be a threat.
Yeah.
And the church of the living God today. Now, we've went from freedom to oppression.
Right.
America was seduced, and now America is suppressed. The very design of our Constitution was this right here, Brother Mitchell, that the government would be in the hands of the people. That's the whole design of your Constitution.
Right.
Was that the power would be in the people to govern. You know, our government is supposed to be of the people,
for the people,
by the people, and for the people, not a tyrant. A tyrant is someone that asserts authority and power. And we've got people right now that have somehow got around the Constitution through deception and fraud. And listen, they've got power now. I don't know how in the world they're ever going to be removed. But I'll tell you one thing. One man exposed them. They put all the blame on the previous president, and they want to fix it where he can never get back in there.
Right.
But I will tell you what I remember him saying, Sybil. The day they inaugurated President Trump as president,
He
turned to the camera. Here's what he said. I'm going to give America back to the American people. That won't wash enough. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know, buddy, it was on The first impeachment started, I think, within 16 hours of his inauguration. It's still going on right now.
Yeah.
Oh, they consider him a threat.
Yep.
Listen, President Trump, he didn't bow down. He didn't back down. He's a fighter. I'm glad he is, because we need somebody to fight for it, amen.
Right.
But anyway, I do believe that through deception, that they seduced this country and overthrew the will of the people. And I hate to get political, but I don't know no other way to say this, right. But now we're going to be suppressed.
Yep, that's right. Yep. Amen.
They're going to start telling you what you can.
You're right.
What you can't do.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know how y'all feel about the vaccine. I personally don't want to take it. But I for sure don't want nobody to tell me that it's mandate and I have to take it. I'd like to have a certain say in the matter. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I'm not afraid of the coronavirus. I'm sorry. And if you are, I don't mean anything by what I said. I just want you to know I'm not afraid. I'm not going to be belittled. I'm not going to cower down. I'm not going to be afraid of it. I told this in Sunday school, and I think it's worth repeating. God told a man named Moses was a very timid man, a very meek man, and God told him to go stand before Pharaoh, and there's he dragging his feet. He's sitting there thinking, who am I going to stand before Pharaoh? You know what he did to him, Sybil?
Yeah.
He said, put your hand in your bosom.
Yeah.
Moses goes, he put it in there. God said, now pull it out. He pulled it out and it was white with leprosy. I'm going to say that Moses' knees probably buckled right there.
Yeah.
Then God said, okay, Moses, put your hand back in there. He put his hand back in there. God said, pull it out again. He pulled it out and it's like his other hand. You see what I mean?
Right.
You can either fear man or you can fear God. You can do either one, but the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is hell. The fear of God is safety. The fear of God is the best thing that you can do. But we've come down to the day and age where there's no fear of God before their eyes, and they're trying to make it hard on us to love the Lord and to worship the Lord and to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen.
Amen.
I am not going to bow.
That's right.
I am not going to bend. Our country's in trouble right now.
It is.
We've got a lot of good people. And you know what? They're getting caught up in this. Well, Elijah got caught up in this idol threat. It got the best of him, Sybil. And he run one out of his shoes, left his servant there at Beersheba, and he run down there and got underneath that juniper tree, and he's trying to figure out what to do. I don't know why he didn't get down and pray like he did for the rain, Brother Jerry. But anyway, he's on the run. And I can see him. I mean, he's running for his life.
That's right.
I'm not going to put him down.
No.
Fear. I mean, I'm glad we do have fear.
Yeah.
I fear going to the hospital anymore to see what they've done to my wife. She's lucky to be alive, Phyllis.
That's right.
I mean, they sent her home, and she was at death's door when they sent her home. She was in bad shape she went in. But she was in better shape she went in than what they sent her out. I had to hold her all that long. Yeah. Saturday night, when they sent her home, and she was crying, Jerry, and she said, don't let me go, please. I couldn't hold her. I held her, but I mean, I couldn't keep her from dying.
Right.
But I did weep over her, and I did pray over her, and cried out to God all through the night. Now, she's doing okay now. And I'll tell you right now, what I saw them do to her makes me fear going to the hospital. I fear anybody going to the hospital. If you do go to the hospital, do this. Ask a lot of questions. What's that? What are you giving me that for? What is that? What's the side effects? Well, why are you giving me this? I mean, ask a lot of questions. They're not used to it, but do it. Ask a lot of questions. Don't fall victim to some of this stuff. You know, we're already killing the babies.
Right.
But I think we've moved on to euthanasia.
Yeah.
You kind of see that in New York with Cuomo putting him COVID-infected people in there with the nursing homes, and he's looking at it like this right here. I'm going to have more money, more people I get rid of. And for lack of better words, I think they may have the crosshairs on us. I know they got them on the church, amen. Because we're fixing to get out of this mess. But anyway, he ran, Brother Ed, from a threat of a woman that really, she couldn't be a threat to him unless he allowed it. He ran from that idle threat, and he ended up in this cave fearing for his life. And you know, I could ask the question, what changed? I'll tell you what changed. He did. His boldness was melted. His faith is far from him. And he's in hiding. Just like today, God's people are in bondage from fear. And they're hiding just like him. But we're being intimidated, you know, by idle threats. You know, God told us, fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. I know we've got a lot of trouble going on today.
Yes, we do.
This confrontation was needed for his sake. When God confronted Elijah, even though it was a shameful thing, it was a needful thing. Elijah had a lot of explaining to do, like, why are you here? And he really didn't have a good answer. And he did try to explain it away. If you look here, I stopped at verse 9, and Elijah tries to give an explanation, and he said, hold on a minute here. Well, I'll give his lame explanation. He said, they seek my life, and I alone am left. I can't find the exact verse I'm looking for. But he said, I alone am left, and they seek my life. And he's telling God, I'm trying to survive this threat. And God answers him. Oh, no wonder I'm in 1 Kings chapter 18. No wonder I couldn't find the verse I'm looking for. That'd help a bunch. And Elijah answered, I'm in 1 Kings 19 now. That'd help a bunch. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and have slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now God asked him again what he's doing here down in verse 13, but we're not going to go to that for sake of time. But I want you to know what God told Elijah to do. He still had some things for him to do, and he told him to go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, thou shalt anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shabeth, thou shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. But he said down in verse 18 to this prophet, he said, I have 7,000 in Israel of knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed. In other words, God said, you ain't alone, boy. You just don't see the whole picture. But you know, if we're not careful, we'll be just like Elijah. We'll look at what we see only, and we won't put it in perspective. And he didn't see the whole picture. He only saw what he was looking at was this threat that she wanted to kill him. And as bold as he was in the previous confrontations, this one just got the best of him. You know, reminds me a lot of Adam's confrontation. God come down there and he's calling out to Adam. Adam, where art thou?
Yeah.
And Adam answered God and he said, I hid myself. And God said, why'd you hide yourself? You know, it's amazing how God can kind of bring it out, ain't it, Brother Jerry?
Yeah. Amen.
And Adam just kind of met the cat out of the bag. He said, I'm naked. God said, he told you he was naked.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of hard to pull one over on God. He said, have you eaten of that tree I told you not to eat of? You know what he said, Phyllis? He said, that woman, she gave me an idea to eat. He's trying to put the blame on her. Well, that's kind of where Elijah is. You know, he's in the same predicament. A woman's got him running and hiding. And here Adam is. He can't hide. And Elijah can't hide. And God shows up. And I just want to say this about this message today. One day God's going to show up.
Right.
Going to be a lot of red faces.
Right.
I'd a whole lot better show up right here today, Sybil. I'd like to be right here.
Yeah.
Right in this message. And the Lord show up. I say, about time, let's get out of here. What do you think? Hey, we get out of this mess. But one of these days, he is for real going to show up. I know they've been saying that since the beginning of time. But just like it was in Noah's day, he preached for 120 years.
Right.
And they said, what was that you said, Noah? They might make fun of him one day. He didn't have to save no more preaching.
Right.
God shut the door on that ark. and they beating the bark off outside of that thing saying, let us in, Noah, let us in. And it's too late. God shut the door. And God's going to shut the door to the age of grace. It ain't going to be too long. And just like that episode of Noah's day, those on the inside going to be okay. And those on the outside ain't going to be okay.
Right.
But Elijah here, he's just like Adam, trying to find someone to put the blame on. He said, they're seeking my life to take it away. And he said, I'm alone here. And the Lord told him, there's still work for him to do. And I guess the Lord may have had a little humor in that where he said, by the way, I got 7,000 that hadn't bowed to Baal. But God showed showed his people makes a difference. You know, he showed Moses about the leprosy, but he also showed that he makes a difference when Israel was down in Egypt in Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. God caused all the plagues of Israel not to come nigh the people of Israel down in Egypt.
Yeah.
He said that you may know the Lord makes a difference. He makes a difference.
Yeah. Right.
Man, I don't know why I ain't been a doctor in 20 or 30 years. I don't know. I don't know why I still got some degree of health. I don't know. I probably couldn't pass one of the health screenings, but I'll tell you one thing. I believe I outlived most of them.
Yeah. Amen.
Because in Him, we live and move and
that's
have
right.
our being.
Amen.
I'm going with Him.
That's right.
Whatever He says, that's what I'm going to do. Which direction He points, that's the way I'm going to go.
Right.
You know why?
Amen.
You know why, fellas? I can't make it without Him.
That's right.
I guess it was somebody in the Johnsons, what's their name? Sung that song, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand.
Yeah, right.
I can't think of the name of the group, but something in the Johnsons.
Right.
But how true that song is. We got to have Him to make it, amen. And through Him, we are going to make it, glory to God.
That's right.
But the reason I wanted to preach this message today is God gave His people a warning in Exodus chapter 15. And I want to read that because even if I was to quote it, I want to read it. I might misquote it. God said to His people in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'll take that medicine any day of the week.
Amen.
Now I'll get it up today to what I just read there in Exodus. Listen to this. I'll be done after this. I probably got enough people done turned the message off today. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter's giving a salutation here. Here's what he says. It probably helped if I was in 1 Peter chapter 3. There you go. It says, finally be all one mind. I've been reading two different Bibles, and where it said on the page really messed me up here. This print here is real fine. I'm reading a large print King James Bible at the house. This is a Scofield Study Bible, and I'm going to have to upgrade some glass, I think. But he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You know, we've got promised a blessing. Just like the Lord gave His people a warning, we've also got the promise of a blessing.
Yes,
Right. I'd a whole lot rather be doing good.
Right.
When the Lord shows up.
That's right.
I've been caught with my hand in the cookie jar. My mama used to make cookies, and she didn't mind me eating them, Brenda. She just didn't want me to eat them all. Right. She'd give me a couple, say, eat them, and we'll eat the others later. She's gone, here I go. I get my hand in the cookie jar, and she would holler at me, and I'd take off running. I don't want to be caught like that when the Lord shows up. I like to be like Brother Jerry here, done moved up to the second pew up here from the front, sitting here for the Word of God, sitting here, amen, enjoying the things of God. I'm just telling you, he's going to show up, just like we said, playing hide and seek.
Right.
Real not. Here I come. And a lot of churches going to be rudely awakened.
You're right.
Going to be maybe even interrupted. Oh my, I believe in this case the Lord might just come in and sit down a little bit and tell us can carry on, amen. But I tell you right now, the Bible said he desires such to worship him, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I see both of them here. I tell you, I thank God for this little church. It might be little in size, but it's big, amen, in truth and worship, amen. Praise God. Oh my. Father, we thank you for this message today. Lord, we didn't want to make nobody mad. We just want to try to wake people up that they might be made aware of the fact the Lord is returning and he's going to return in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. And Lord, I would to God that all your children, Lord, be in the house of God. Lord, be singing the songs of God. Be lifting up hand and praising the name of God when you do show up, Lord. That may not ever be true, Lord, but that is our heart's desire.
Yeah.
Help us, Lord, in all that we do, that our efforts might be pure, that our motive might be to bring glory and honor unto you with every breath you give us, with every day you give us. Lord, I pray we'll just give you all praise and all glory for all things, for it all belongs to you. We ask your blessings on this message today. Bless those that were here to hear it. Bless those, Father, that are here by way of the internet. And Lord, I pray that many hearts will be challenged. Lord, I pray that they start thinking right and doing right before you get down here. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jerry, I know you're by yourself. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. If you would, brother, just one verse of invitation to him. We always want to give an opportunity. Somebody may have something that might be urgent. I don't know everything, don't know much of nothing anyway. But if you do have anything, old brother Eddie, be glad to pray with you. I sure will.
Number 122 in the blue book. First verse.